ask somebody to pray with me to see if I'm really being obedient to the Holy Spirit, because sometimes you just don't want to do it. And so it's form of the story. As you guys know, my name is Kevin Robertson. I'm the pastor here at the church. Been here for a long time. And I realized that the Lord has moved on me a year ago to restore this church in order to restore the community. And so I didn't realize how much restoration a pastor needs in order to bring a church into restoration as well, and also the community as restoration. So back in September, our denomination offered what's called a recalibration for pastors that are really struggling with the direction in their ministry and stuff like this. And when my superintendent kind of flippantly said, hey, Bishop, one of the bishops is leading this, I volunteered. You know how you do that? You have a need in your heart and your desire. So you volunteer, and you volunteer in September, thinking January is far. And so I flew to Tampa on Monday, and you have to understand with the tremors that I have, you're very self-conscious about going on airplanes, but you're very self-conscious about meeting other pastors, because I just realized that my greatest hurts have been within the church with pastors. Now you think, how in the world do you go through that? You're a pastor yourself. But it is. And so as I went there, this group of people, usually as for me, I've learned at a very young age, you look for safe people. I call it the safe dar, like a radar. And so I want to show you the picture of a group, of my cohort group that I met. And so what happens in this is when you connect, that when I connect with a person here in this group, I always run towards the brothers because they have their own radar that they've learned to survive. They've learned to pick people out that they're safe too, or whether they're racist. And so I jump towards them. But during this time that when I went through this period of recalibration, I just realized that your pastor needs to confess his attitudes towards people, his attitudes towards the church, and because of hurt that I have. We've learned how to mask our pain. We've learned how to adapt when we walk into a church. We learn how to act and do our persona. There was another gentleman, white dude, that when I told him, he came up to me and he said, tell me about your tremors. And I've never had a pastor come up to me and ask me about it. So I said to him, I said, when I go in to deal with this and I see buffets, it just seems like everything's a buffet when you have these conferences, which is the worst thing for me. Paper plates, plastic cups, and plastic fork, and then balance it on one hand and try to feed. Usually my wife and I have a system. So I told him what I usually do is I walk out and wait until everyone's done at the buffet, and then I walk in and get the scraps later. And so the next day, he saw me walking out. And he said, Kevin. And I went, what? And he goes, I know what you're doing. Come here. And I go, and you know how your pride kicks in. And I got it. He goes, Kevin, he gives me that daddy look. He says, I want you to stand right next to me. So I walked towards him and with him, and my tremor calmed. For the first time, I felt safe in the body of Christ. See where I'm going? I've been a pastor for 33 years. I've been in church for 55 years. My greatest hurt's been other pastors. And this is the group of pastors I felt safe with. And so when I flew out, the Lord put on my head, my mind, your church, your group has been hurt by the church. I want to heal them as I heal you. Because we can joke. Humor is the greatest way to mask pain. I have a great sense of humor. I joke a lot. And so I want to challenge you as I'm being challenged, and I'm really going to call you guys, if you've been hurt by a pastor or priest or someone within the church or somebody who represents the church that limits your joy and your effectiveness in trusting God, I want to pray for you. And if you don't mind standing with me. And so he's not going to heal us completely right now, but we can be on the steps to restoration, to healing, because I want this church to be what I experienced in Florida. This church needs to be a church that you're safe, that you don't have to worry about judgment. You don't have to worry about people looking down upon you. And so if you've been hurt by the church, just stand and let me pray with you. I really feel like we've all have been hurt. And he wants to restore us, that we can be the example that we've never had. And so would you mind just praying for these as we go on a journey of healing that I believe the Lord's called me obedient, and then I'll go on the message. Father, we thank you. Man, I thank you, Lord, for being vulnerable. And I pray, Lord, that each of us are standing here that we can have the courage to experience a newness within you. We know, Lord, that you're saying, focus, focus, look at me, follow me, follow me, follow me. But I pray, Lord, that we will not be inhibited to our callings in life by our hurts within the church. I thank you for this tremendous experience that I had with this group of men to be loved without condition. We just thank you, Lord, for each one here today. I ask you to bless this message. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Now, the picture that was popping up on the screen, let's start from that because we know that's on the screen. But this is how I grew up. Now, I grew up in the church. And we grew up in the church sitting in pews, grabbing in the hymnal. When the person said, we're going to sing out of the hymn, page 347. And as a kid, I had look, 347, and the gentleman that led the worship did this for some unknown reason. And then he would go, we're going to sing stanza 1, 6, and 8, which I have no idea what stanza meant. And so I kind of went through it, and that's how I grew up. Now, other people like you, maybe you grew up in the Catholic Church, and you had the rosary beads, and you grew and you prayed a lot, and you did the sitting down and standing up, and you did the confessional and stuff like that, and you grew up in the Catholic Church. And that was how we sang hymns as well. Or maybe you grew up in the African-American Church, which was lively and exciting, and I remember watching T.J. Jakes. You remember him? And I wanted to be like him. Good luck. When he'd start screaming, he would go, like this, and kind of just emphasize, I tried that, it just didn't fit. Or maybe you grew up in the Pentecostal church. The Pentecostal church, you were expected to be slain by the Holy Spirit, and that determined the way you dressed, because usually you dressed a certain way, in a loving way, so when you were slain by the Spirit, you had some dignity when you were laying there on the ground. But it's interesting, when I look at Scripture and the Gospel, I find in the Gospel, which is amazing, that when I look at Jesus' teaching, there's nowhere in the teachings of Jesus that say, sing to me, or worship me, or sing praises to me. Now, I think it's interesting because it's interesting when we come to church, our main focus is worshiping and praising God. And I don't think this is what Jesus ever had in mind. Now, Father Greg Boyle, if you guys remember him, we really support his ministry. And he runs the largest gang intervention program in the world. And he writes this book called Barking to the Choir. And I'm going to quote it a lot. And I like Father Boyle. And he says this, we think Jesus wants a fan club, undulating crowds, gushing adorers, clamoring for autographs and sidling up to him, proclaiming, I'm your biggest fan. I have all your albums. I've never missed a concert. And as if often said, Jesus does not say to the gospel, worship me, but he simply says, follow me. Now, I wonder if we have substitute following Jesus to being a fan of Jesus. Because being a fan of Jesus, especially if you and I have been hurt in the church, we've stopped following and we've become a fan. I'm a Michael Jackson fanatic. I'm a fan of Michael Jackson. But I can listen to him constantly straight, and then for a while, I don't even listen to him anymore. Then I go back to him and listen to him. And same thing we do with Jesus, because we're fan-based. And so thank goodness for Google. If you Google the number five, top five worship songs in America that you sing in the American church, you can look at it and say, is it fan-based or following? I put the lyrics up. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. Follower or fan? Oh, God is greater. Oh, God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Or you are good, ooh, ooh. Good, ooh, ooh. You are good, ooh, ooh, ooh. I don't sing, okay? You are the only King forever, Almighty God, lift me higher. Now, I look at this and I go, you know, the thing is, when I worship, when I sing, if I sing too loud, my wife starts busting up. True story. I just do not sing very well. And so thank the Lord that that's not a requirement to have a great voice when worshiping. The fact is, there's nothing wrong with singing praises to God, but I think singing these songs do more for us than they do for the Lord. Are making us feel better. When I sing Man in the Mirror, and I'm not looking in the mirror, trust me. What are you laughing at? It makes me feel good. It makes me livelier. God is not an egomaniac that needs us to spend 30 to 40 minutes singing songs to him and telling how wonderful he is. And that all of a sudden, this is what he wants. Back in the book that I just quoted, it says, Phantom is of no interest to Jesus. What matters to him is the authentic following of the disciple. We are settling for saying Jesus, but Jesus wants us to be in the world who he is. Now, I put it this way, and I'll put it on the screen. Jesus doesn't want a fan base. Jesus desires followers. He isn't looking for devotees as much as he's looking for disciples. See, I'm afraid of what happened, including myself, that we make a fan base or being a fan of Jesus into being a follower of Jesus. And they're completely two different things. This is important to catch, and this is what I'm saying. If you look on the screen, I want to make it clear. That's why I put things on the screen, because sometimes I mess up just speaking. Going to church and singing praises may help to form you into being a follower of Jesus, but in of itself does not make you a follower of Jesus. For me, even as a pastor, you're inhibited sometimes by your hurts. And so therefore you want to play it safe, and it's much easier to be a fan and criticize other things. Perhaps the reason I'm discovering this, that actually doing the will of God in my life, in restoration, and working on hard issues within the church and myself, is the way of praising God. You hear me? Now, maybe instead of assuming that we do the same old religious stuff, to sit in church, throw money in the offering plate, do our praise and worship, listen to the preacher, go and do communion, that we think we've done it. But I have to ask a question I put on the screen. What does God actually desire from me? What does God actually desire from you? Now, Jesus answers that question perfectly, not by words, but his lifestyle, the way he lived. If you want to know the answer, all we have to do is look at Jesus. Again, Father Boyle tells us a story and illustrates this. And remember I told you when I get excited about the Word of God, I have tendencies to cuss, which doesn't make any sense. Most of you guys cuss when you're ticked off. I cuss when I get excited about the Word of God. And I just go, man, I got to calm down, dude. But I look at Father Greg Boyle. The guy does too, which is cool. So I won't even say, well, it's in the book. And so he says this. It's on the screen. I recall being interviewed by a Christian broadcast network, which is probably TBN, by a woman who was having just listened to my litany of things we do at Homeboy Industries, from tattoo removal to job training, case management to mental health counseling, paused cautiously once I had finished. But how much time do you spend at Homeboy Industries each day, you know, praising God, she asked. I actually didn't know what to say to that, but found myself offering, all damn day. Isn't that the best? That's what he considers praising God, is doing this incredible ministry. Now, perhaps as your pastor just spent a lot of time repenting for his brokenness and for his direction, sometimes we need to repent for the religious ways that we've been focusing. Because my hurt is not about the purification of the Holy Spirit manifesting in people's lives. It has to do with people that are so stuck in their religiousness, if that's a word. And so this is where it's not giving up your sins, and repentance is not necessarily just saying, oh, I had this awful sin, but repentance, that I put on the screen, is simply means to change your mind and go in a different direction. That's it. I've got to stop my mind thinking this. Remember that song that we just sung, the mind leads the heart. Most of us, our heart leads the mind. And so, therefore, what Jesus is dealing with in the scripture text that we read, they were banking on their ancestries. They were banking on their homeland, their temple, their religious traditions, and the law. They knew that. And so they believed if they would do this, the particular thing, that somehow they had this transactional relationship with God. So therefore, if they do this religious ritual, then God would do something for them. If you want a transactional relationship with God, you can't catch up with him. He gave you life. He gave you an earth. He gave you a place to live. So therefore, there's no doing this. And this is where Jesus is getting frustrated, because he's telling the people to repent, and most of them are religious leaders. This is what's amazing about this. And so this is what basically says in my little thinking on the screen. Good news. God is doing something completely new. You can't get in on the new thing if you keep putting your trust in the same old religious thing you've done for centuries. Stop it. Change your minds. Trust me and the message I'm giving you. Follow me and you will see how it all unfolds. This is where it's exciting. This is where I'm discovering this week. This is the real living for Jesus. It's beginning to follow him. And he has set a bigger place in the world for you and I. We're part of something greater than ourselves. We're part of something bigger than ourselves. I believe our when you look at our country and where it's going, it's the perfect soil for people that follow Jesus to make a difference in this world right now. True difference, not political difference, but a humble difference is following Jesus. But here's the thing. God has put something on your heart to do something great, but it's that crazy F word that stopped you. Now, I'm not going to say the F word, but I'm going to spell it, and I'll put it on the screen. It's F-E-A-R. I don't know what word you're thinking of. But it's fear. Your vocabulary is just as bad as mine sometimes. This is what Jesus says all the time, to fear not. The thing is, what sticks me, what I thought my anger towards pastors, my anger towards the church, it's basically was a protection mode to protect me. because I didn't want to get hurt anymore. But it limits me and my joy and what God has called me to live, not to survive. And so Martin Luther King Jr., people don't focus on this, but I have one thing in common with him. He's a PK. His dad's a pastor. So that guy had to have some issues. But he said something that was wise. He said this, it's on the screen. Church is not a place you come from. It's a place that you go from. Do you see the difference? Because Martin Luther King Jr., his DNA, his following Jesus, happened when he was in church. But he went out to make this huge difference. Martin Luther King Jr. didn't want to be a fan, but he wanted to be a follower. And he changed the world. And his message, we need another Martin Luther King Jr. Because it seems like we're back in the 60s and 50s again. And so this is where Martin Luther King Jr. focused on was what's called the cause. And that was what he was focusing on. You'll hear from me talking about the next year about the cause. I put it on screen so you know the cause. For Jesus, followers like Dr. King, followers like Father Boyle, this is like the scripture of their life. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to bring the good news to who? The poor. He has sent me to proclaim, to release the captives free and recover the sight of the blind and to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Isn't this what we need now? Jesus was saying then and saying now that the new thing is God is up to is the good news. And Jesus is calling all of us to change our mind and move from being a fan-based Christian to a follower of Jesus. You look at the disciples. The disciples are crazy because you look at Jesus called Peter, Andrew, James, and John, who were the four fishermen. That's all they knew was to fish. Their families fished, their grandfathers fished, everything was fishing. And so Jesus didn't say, hey, can you be a fan of me in a rah-rah church here and come on Sunday morning? No. He said, follow me. I'm going to teach you how to be fishers of men. And they dropped everything. That's some crazy following, isn't it? And so your pastor needs to drop his attitudes, his hurts. Because we who've been hurt by the church and who've been focused on this need to be free from this in order to continue to follow him. Because it's some scary stuff and it's interesting. See, I'm sure fear kicked in their lives. See, if we wait for fear to stop and then do it, because we're looking for fear to stop, it doesn't necessarily stop. Because if it did, I wouldn't need the courage to do what I'm called to do. Courage is moving forward with the fear. And so this is fascinating because the Lord wants to heal marriages here. The Lord wants to heal relationships here. The Lord wants to repurpose you. The Lord wants you to stop focusing on what people have labeled you as disability, but label you as a master servant for him. Back on the screen. In order to follow Jesus, we have to change directions. In order to change directions, we have to change our minds. Do we believe that what Jesus offers is good news? Is God really able to heal, to restore, and save this world in and through the way of Christ? If we trust Jesus, we will follow him. If we don't, we may just be content to be a fan. I've been quoting Father Boyle a lot. And I've always looked at people that are like him, and I say, they have a perfect. But Father Boyle has his criticism. And you know where his criticisms come from? Are other Christians. You notice that? That's why you have such, and I have hurt by the church. Because we've been judged more by the church than the world. And so he says this in his book. A woman once scheduled an appointment, and this is where I was getting mad. If you ever get mad, you go, oh, I want to go to that appointment. A woman once scheduled an appointment with me, and before I knew it, she was unleashing this myriad ways God was disappointed in me and Homeboy Industries. That's what she said. As a bride of Christ, I need to tell you that this place does not give glory to God, she said. I listened until I no longer could. And I said, look, I said kindly, which he's a better man than I am, thanks for visiting me and bringing me this important message. But you see all those people out there? I pointed to the reception area packed with gang members waiting to see me. I only have an hour left to see them all. She stood huffily. So you're telling me that these people are more important than the Lord? No, I said as I walked her to the door. Jesus thinks they are the Lord. I was hungry. You gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me to drink. I was a gang member without hope. And you gave me some. That's what Jesus is all about. Jesus is safe. And therefore, when I was at the table, at the buffet, and that guy goes, come here. And I calmed down, and I relaxed, and I was at the table. This is a safe table too. We feel unworthy of communion all the time because we're judged. But when Jesus says, come to the table, he goes, come here. I'm going to stand right by you. And when we feel the presence of Christ, not the religious institution of the church or temple or Catholic church or whatever, I'm the safest here with Jesus. I don't lead communion. I can't with the tremors, for I sit there. And one of you always serves me because you can do things that I can't, but I don't feel judged. This church is safe to me. The outside scares the fire in me. But we are one body. If you look at your connection card and you respond to me, you can look at your connection card. And I really want to challenge you in this because I'm being challenged as well. Today I give up being a fan, Jesus' fan. And I want to be Jesus' follower. If that is your prayer, we want to pray for you. And we're going to see what the next 15 to 18 months of this church, as we recalibrate, to be the church that Jesus has called us to be, that we are going to focus on healing for us and not be limited by our pain, but only be limited by what God has called us to do. May God bless you, and may God bless his word.